Please stand as you are able, for the gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verse 20 to 26. Jesus raised his eyes to the disciple and said, "Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Happy are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name as evil because of the human one. Rejoice when that happens. Leap for joy because you have a great reward in heaven. Their ancestors did the same things to the prophets. But how terrible for you who are rich, because you have already received your comfort. How terrible for you who have plenty now, because you will be hungry. How terrible for you who laugh now, because you will mourn and weep. How terrible for you when all speak well of you. Their ancestors did the same things to the false prophets." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. You may be seated.
Go Rams! I know many of you are rooting for the Los Angeles Rams today, but we also have a Cincinnati Bengals fans, right? Go Bengals! My family and I used to live in Dayton, Ohio, near Cincinnati, for a brief time, about 25 years ago. And I remember I drove to Cincinnati to visit parishioners sometimes, but I didn't care for any football games or teams at that time, except for the one time living in Ohio. My home has always been Southern California since 1983, when I moved to the United States from South Korea. So I guess by default, I am rooting for my local sports team, the Los Angeles Rams, for the Super Bowl game today. By the way, did you know that when the Rams franchise began in 1936, it was the Cleveland Rams, based in Cleveland, Ohio? In 1947, the Rams became Los Angeles Rams, but only until 1994, it was St. Louis Rams from 1995 to 2015. Then finally, the team came back to LA in 2016. Yes, it was the time I happened to move to Riverside from San Diego. Interestingly, in the same year, the San Diego Chargers also moved to Los Angeles and became the Los Angeles Chargers. Anyhow, did you also know when the very first Super Bowl game was held in 1967, its game ticket price was only $12? Wow, so cheap, right? Yeah. After 55 years, do you know how much it costs to watch the game in person at SoFi Stadium, Inglewood today? The cheapest ticket costs still over $5,000, and most expensive deluxe or fancy package price is way over $100,000 per person. Wow! Can you believe that? Even the SoFi Stadium and local parking fees are from $386 and $6,208. Wow! Anyhow, even though I'm not a regular football fan, I only enjoy watching the Super Bowl game on TV every year. Once a year. Only once a year. That's me. I wish you, all the football fans, the Super Bowl fans, enjoy the game today. And go Rams, go Bengals. Let me ask you this question this morning. Let's say the Rams wins the Super Bowl today. How long would your excitement, if you are a Rams fan, how long would your excitement, fun, and happiness last? Today, the whole day after the game? Or this whole week, the month, or the whole year? Because the game is annually held, I think your maximum Super Bowl fever would last a year, unless you get tired of thinking about it or forgetting about it, or until a new Super Bowl game time comes next year, right? Even though sometimes you accomplish a huge thing in your life, how long does your happiness last? It's a limited time for you cannot be happy all the time. Even though you have tons of money, so you can buy or do whatever you want to do or buy, would you be happy whole time? How long will that be, would that last? Let's say you will have a nice, delicious dinner tonight, but your satisfaction with happy mood will over probably tomorrow morning. You will become hungry again. When you are hungry, it is easy and natural for you to become grumpy again. How about you watching an amazingly entertaining or heartwarming drama or funny movie? How long will your excitement or awesome feeling be lasting? Maybe a few hours or a couple of days? See, every moment of feeling happy is temporary, pretty much. Of course, you cannot be in happy mood at all times. Your circumstances, your conditions and relationships are ever changing. Especially as we are going through the third year of the COVID pandemic, our lives are being disrupted, disturbed, and miserable. It would be much easier for us to list all kinds of reasons not to be happy. By now, many of us are exhausted, burned out, depressed, and unhappy. It is truly hard to be happy these days. Nevertheless, everyone wants to be happy. How about you? Do you want to be happy in your life? I'm sure you do. If you are already happy with everything in your life, that's good. Keep on living your happy life. But I can help you. We can attempt to discover your happiness in life this morning and next Sunday through a mini sermon series on two Sundays. This morning's sermon title is Choose to be Happy. Number one, love your God. Generally, your family loves you and makes you happy. Generally, your close friends and beloved ones love you and also make you happy. I keep using the word generally because it applies to most or many cases, but not always. There might be some broken and even horrible relationships between you and your spouse, your kins, and your friends. Anyhow, here is a simple fact. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone pursues happiness because it is human nature to do so. The ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle had already said this a long time ago. He said, quote, "Happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and end of a human existence," unquote. Yes, indeed. That's why everyone is looking for happiness. It is the human nature. However, happiness is not happening automatically. Happiness does not just appear overnight. When we say the word happiness, it does not mean just a single happy moment, but a lifelong journey. You don't have to have a perfect life to be happy. No material possessions will bring you any lasting happiness. Your life, whether it's dynamic or not, can be challenging because of many known or unknown factors. Yet, you can experience and enjoy happiness beyond everything. How so? Here is one thing you must keep in mind. If you expect and rely on that someone makes you happy or something brings you happiness, this happiness would be just temporary. If you want to be happy as Christians in Christ, you must choose to be happy. Yes, simply put, happiness is a choice. After all, life is all about making choices. Yes, because of your choices you have made so far, you are who you are today. So now, even though you are surrounded by a great deal of circumstances, situations, and problems, you still can choose to be happy. You have the choice. This morning's Gospel of Luke sounds like the Beatitudes from the Gospel of Matthew, right? The Luke passage is about one quarter of the Matthew's Beatitudes. Yet, basically, it's the same proclamation of Jesus. This morning, I intentionally selected the passage in Common English Bible, CEB, for my sermon. And the liturgist, John MacDonald, read the same CEB version. While many other Bibles translate the first words of Jesus as, "Blessed are you who are poor," this CEB translate as, "Happy are you who are poor." That is also correct translation, because the Greek word makarioi here can be translated into not only blessed, but also happy. Let's read this passage from verse 20 through verse 23 as a responsive reading format. I'm going to start. "Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Happy are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn you, your name, as evil because of the human one. Rejoice when that happens." Amen. Interestingly, rather than the word happy, the word sad, pity, or even depressed seem to make more sense with this statement. Yeah, it's like, depressed are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and so on, right? How can you be happy when everything goes wrong with you? It's as if Jesus' words show the exact opposite of being happy after all. Yet, Jesus' words are serious and straightforward. You are happy and blessed, even though you are going through all kinds of depressing and miserable conditions. Of course, at the end of verse 23, Jesus adds, live for joy because you have a great reward in where? Heaven. This sounds like even though you face with many trials and hardship on this earth, be patient and be strong because you will receive a great reward in heaven. However, the phrase in heaven does not necessarily mean when you die or after you die. God's heaven or God's kingdom is already being established here among you in your everyday life. So I'd like to share with you a secret to daily happiness in your uncertain and unstable life. Part one this morning and part two next Sunday. I said secret, but it's not actually a secret or any new revelation. It's not even any new insight. You already know this. It's love your God. Your life is not about yourself. In order to understand who you are and what your life is about, you must start from God, who created you and who loves you. So if you can have a paradigm shift in understanding the meaning and purpose of your life, you would acknowledge that God has given you your life and everything else, and that God loves you unconditionally. Remember when Jesus was asked which commandment in the law is the greatest? What did he say? He said, Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, verse 38. To love God means that you must change your life's focus from yourself to God. When you do this, your perspectives, your expectations, and your values on life will be changed, and you will experience lifelong happiness. But when you say, I love God, how can you love the invisible God in practical, tangible, and meaningful ways? I have found one good guideline from the opening hymn that we have sung together this morning. I think the caddy wants to worship too. Yeah, praise God. It's hymn number 467, Trust and Obey. We have sang already as the opening hymn, right? I believe trust and obey says it all about loving God. I have known this song, this hymn throughout my whole life, and I still love it. The first verse goes like this. When we walk with the Lord in the light of this his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us there and with all who will trust and obey. And here is the refrain. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now, here is another question. In what ways can you trust God? Trust God's words and his promises. This is the source and foundation of your faith. Trust Jesus is always with you. Don't forget that. No matter what storms and trials you are faced with, Jesus is always with you. And trust the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who always strengthens you, comforts you, and guides you. How about obey God? obey God's greatest commandment, love God and love your neighbor. Why obedience to God is so important. There are many, many Bible verses. We can learn one lesson from the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 15:22 records when the prophet Samuel boldly confronted King Saul, who had tried to put himself first over God's instructions. It says, the verse 22, and Samuel said, "Has the Lord had great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obedience to the voice of the Lord? Surely to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Yes, to obey God is better than empty sacrifice, meaningless rituals, or any routine habit. Trust and obey always go together in loving God. Love always requires an active initiation and heartfelt commitment. And it is extremely important for you to choose to love God first over everything else. And there is no other way to be happy but to love your God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, being happy is your choice. Do not wait until it comes to you. Do not rely on someone else to giving you happiness. You are responsible for your own happiness now and for the rest of your life. So, do not blame anyone or anything or any given situation or circumstances in your life for your unhappiness. No one can make you happy. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will bring you everlasting happiness but the abundant love of God in your life. You must choose to be happy so that you can bring healing and grace to be broken, to broken souls and broken hearts. Your happiness, after all, begins by loving your God. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. May the day be a special day to remember not only your loved ones, but also God who loves you and who gave you your precious life. May you be filled with God's love tomorrow and always. Choose to be happy. Love your God first. Thanks be to God. Amen.